UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. This is UpToDate on KCUR 89.3. You know, in a lot of families, mine included, it's part of the tradition of the Thanksgiving holiday to enjoy the meal, then maybe get out to see a good movie, one that everyone in the fam can enjoy. I'm here to report that there are a lot of good films out now and coming in the weeks to come. We're going to run down some of these good films for you this morning, and just maybe one of them might lure you out of the comfort of your home and back into a good old actual movie theater. With us to talk about movies are Steve Walker. He's a KCUR film contributor. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good morning.
And back with us again is film reviewer Beck Ireland. Beck, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Steve, how alive is this tradition of, you know, maybe eating some good food and then heading out to catch a film? Because I think the film industry is still trying to recover from COVID.
I think I didn't grow up with that tradition necessarily, but as I got older and was more mobile and could drive myself, then yeah, sure, movies were a part of that weekend.
Beck, how about you? Is this what your family does?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my family just love movies, so definitely on holidays we look forward to them. And that's, you know, when most of the good movies, you know, the big heavy hitters were coming out.
Because it's Oscar season and the big ones start rolling out here. Steve, do you have any sense of how healthy the movie industry is these days? We haven't talked about it for a while. Where do we stand today?
Yeah, good question. It's hard to say because you hear, you know, one movie comes out like Black Panther, of course, is huge and is doing really well. Top Gun was one of the biggest movie makers ever, money makers. And but then, my worries are about the independent films and the foreign films that have sort of vanished from Kansas City screens. You have to kind of find streaming services that offer some of those.
And those are the kinds of films we talk about here on UpToDate. I mean, Beck, you do get a sense that the movie industry is still desperately trying to make a comeback and using some of the films we're talking about today is maybe one way to do that.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to find their way between streaming and getting people into the actual theaters. For me, you know, nothing beats the theater experience, you know, seeing the movie with other people. But, you know, the comfort of your home is also nice, too. So
yeah. Well, let's talk about some films here, and Beck, we'll begin with you with your first one, The Banshees of Inisherin. This one is about the two longtime friends played by Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. They're facing estrangement. Tell us about this film and the plot and what's going on here.
Yeah, so it takes place in Inisherin, which is a small island off the west coast of Ireland. The date is 1923. So this is by the same director and writer who did In Bruges, which is sort of a cult classic, I think, at least, if not a more mainstream one. And it's all the same, you know, same people. So they sort of informally call it the sequel, or actually prequel, to In Bruges, since it takes place in 1923. But I think this one is a lot deeper. It's a lot darker. It's very moody. You know, two friends, lifelong friends, one of them decides he doesn't like the other one anymore. They're on a small island. They're going to see each other. Tells them, you know, there's a threat of violence there. Like, if you keep talking to me, I'm going to do something. Lots of themes about, you know, the end of life, your goals, and how you want to spend your time. And it's actually much more like a Bergman film than anything I've seen recently.
And just reading about it, people say who have seen it, it is dark. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
So be prepared.
Yeah, because it takes on a lot of heavy existential themes. So yeah, be prepared that it's not. I mean, In Bruges was funny because of the two leads, Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, do a great job. This banter between each other, they have great chemistry. But this one, it's much more serious, you know.
Well, I can handle some existential questions once in a while. So we have a clip here from The Banshees of Inisherin. Let's listen to it and give our listeners just a sense of what this one's about.
How do, Parik?
Sit somewhere else.
Huh? But I have my pint there, Colin.
He has his pint there, Colin, from when he came in and ordered his pint before.
No.
Okay. I'll sit somewhere else, though.
Are you rowing?
I didn't think we were rowing.
Well, you are rowing.
Well, you are rowing. He's sitting outside in his own like a watch him call.
It does look like we're rowing. I suppose I best go talk to him so. See what all this is feckin' about.
That'd be the best thing.
You know, I think I want to see that one.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's truly heartbreaking.
And you saw it?
Yeah, I did. And just hearing Colin Farrell, amazing performance there. I'm like welling up because it's just so touching. It's so emotional.
Did you like it?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's hard to watch, but I loved it.
Hard to watch, but okay. That sounds like good enough for me. Steve Walker, let's go to one film that I'm really interested in seeing because it's about journalism. This is the story about two reporters from the New York Times doggedly pursuing the Harvey Weinstein sex abuse scandal. The film is titled She Said. Tell us about it.
Well, it's about a true story of Megan Toohey and Jody Kantor, who were the two New York Times reporters who pursued the women who had, they had begun hearing claims of Harvey Weinstein's treatment of women and doing favors for movie roles, et cetera. And Kantor and Toohey were just dogged, as I said, and got women to finally go on the record after many doors slammed in their faces. And we know how the story turned out, of course. Mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein's serving a prison term. And is on trial again in L.A., where another city where the entertainment industry is based. And I read this morning that it's the first fictional, well, it's not a fictional story, of course, but the New York Times let them film in their building.
Huh. Interesting.
And Carey Mulligan and Zoe Kazan are two great actresses who play the reporters as they track down the various victims.
And I gather you get a sense in a film like this of just how determined reporters have to be to attempt to get at something of the truth in a story like this.
Well, right. And one of the victims, played by Samantha Morton, says to one of the reporters, you know, I've told these stories before and Weinstein shuts it down every time. He was kind of an evil master at that.
Yeah. Well, we have a little clip here from She Said. Let's listen.
Are we talking solely corporate misuse of power?
No, we're talking all workplaces where sexual harassment might happen. Also, let's look for the enablers. Fox kept O'Reilly on for quite some time after our story broke.
And for decades before that.
The network only ousted him when the advertisers jumped ship.
Let's interrogate the whole system. Why is sexual harassment so pervasive and so hard to address?
Well, I know some of my journalism students at UMKC are really interested in seeing that film, so I'll be curious to see what they say about it, too, and that's one I'll definitely be seeing. Beck, let's come back to you here and the film Bones and All. This tells the story, unusual story from what I can tell, of a 16-year-old cannibal played by Taylor Russell as she travels the back roads of Ohio in search of her father. Cannibal, help me here.
Yeah, you know what? There's sort of a new genre coming up for this body horror. I guess a new audience is young women. This is Luca Guadagnino. He did the remake of Suspiria about the ballet troupe. And now he's got this young cannibal who tends to eat everyone she gets close to.
Okay.
So she's got this love interest, Timothy Chalamet. So it's more than just like this you know, romantic chemistry. It's also like just trying to, you know, fight your inner desires.
Can you explain to me a little bit what the appeal of a film like this is to a certain segment of our population? I'm trying to wrap my arms around this.
I just think, you know, a lot of the horror movies were always targeted to young men. And I think, you know, nobody would understand body horror better than young women, really. A lot of them were, you know, like the slasher films were sort of the male gaze. And now we're getting all these sort of, you know, feminist takes on horror.
Okay. Well, this film, again, is titled Bones and All. We have a clip here. Let's listen.
I thought I was the only one. Are there lots of us?
Not lots, but more than you'd think. You've met a few, sure, that you know of. You never had anyone take an interest in you? A double take?
Just always thought.
You just thought some people are creepy. It's better if we all steer clear of one another. We're dangerous to non-eaters, but we can hurt one another just as bad. I hope you're hearing me on this.
That's from Bones and All. I guess it's kind of intriguing, I guess. Cannibalism and all.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't see you going to see this.
No, I don't think I'll be in the theater for this one.
I don't know. You just take it on as a larger metaphor for how, you know, a teenage girl navigates the world, you know.
Let's go with that. Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We're talking about some good films coming out this holiday season, even films that might get you into the movie theater again. Our two critics today, Steve Walker and Beck Ireland. Let's go to a Jennifer Lawrence film, Steve Walker. This one is titled Causeway. Jennifer Lawrence plays a wounded Afghan war vet who returns to her mother's home to recuperate with hopes of redeployment. It's on Apple TV. Tell us about it.
Well, in the old days, you know, a movie with Oscar winner Jennifer Lawrence, a drama, would come out on several area screens. And this one is an example of straight to streaming. Lawrence is always worth watching. It opens with the travails of her physical therapy after being wounded in Afghanistan, and she has no choice but to go home and live with her dysfunctional mother, and meanwhile gets a job cleaning pools and meets and befriends a garage mechanic played by Brian Tyree Henry. And it's just a low key, it's not low energy necessarily, because Lawrence's character is so wounded in so many ways. But it's watching her recuperation, and there's some, you know, power and success in that.
That's Jennifer Lawrence, and the film is titled Causeway. Is there some Oscar buzz around this thing, Steve?
I haven't heard much of it, no. But it comes from Apple TV Plus, which led last year's Best Picture winner, Coda, to its
right.
success.
Okay, Beck, let's go to a film, White Noise. It's streaming on Netflix. It's about the death-obsessed pioneer of Hitler studies at a small Midwestern college. He and his family are forced to evacuate the town during a cataclysmic train accident that casts chemical waste over the town. Again, interesting premise here.
Yeah, it's based off of the 1985 novel by Don DeLillo. I read this, you know, years and years ago, and always hoped that it'd be made into a movie. Now Noah Baumbach's got his hands on it with Greta Gerwig and Adam Driver, and it's, you know, amazing cast, amazing premise. I mean, I think the timing couldn't be better, probably. I mean, if it may been made before, I don't know, where, you know, the use of emergency evacuation to sort of control people and this rise of fascism and, you know, corporatism and all of these themes that are in this movie.
Right.
Really
right.
relevant today.
Yeah. And have you seen this one?
No, I have not. I have not. But I have read the novel.
And it's not coming out till December 30th. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's going to be a movie. I think it's going to be in some theaters before then, but it will be on Netflix December 30th.
Okay. That film, again, is titled White Noise. It stars Adam Driver, and lots of different themes bouncing around this one here. Okay, Steve Walker, let's go to a film, Bad Axe. It's a documentary about a Cambodian family's struggles to keep their Michigan restaurant open during COVID and the peripheral racial animosity against Asian Americans.
Well, if we all recall, as we do, that when COVID happened, it shut down everything from Broadway to your corner family restaurant. And this family lives in a very small town in Michigan called Bad Axe. The father escaped the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia and raised his family in Michigan. They have a very successful restaurant that unfortunately has to reevaluate how to serve the food that they make. And we will also be reminded that just a few months after COVID shut down everything, the George Floyd murder happened, and subsequently a lot of racial animosity in the town around that incident, but also there was a lot of violence against Asian Americans too, in their ignorant confluence of their ethnicity and the virus. So it's kind of a Yeah, it's tough to watch, but this family is so resilient and very entertaining. They have four daughters, and the son of the family is the filmmaker.
Huh. And again, this is a documentary as opposed to a narrative film, right?
It's a documentary, right. Yeah. And it's on various streaming platforms starting today.
Okay. The title again is Bad Axe. That refers to the city in Michigan, it sounds like, right, Steve?
Yes. AXE.
AXE. Okay. If you're just joining us again, we're spinning through some films coming out here during, as we run up to award season for the movie industry, and some films that'll be out during the holiday season when people have a little more time to get out and see things. Beck, let's go to a film. I believe it's just titled EO. This is about, it follows the adventures of a donkey born into a circus, encountering people with both good and ill intentions.
Yeah, so it's the Polish filmmaker Jerzy Skolimowski. He's been making movies since the 60s, and this is sort of a homage to a movie from the 60s called Balthazar at Random, which is also told from the point of view of a donkey. So sort of a remake, but it's following the exploits, as it encounters good and bad people in good and bad situations. But I am told that the donkey never loses his innocence. So maybe this is my most feel-good movie that I'm recommending.
Well, I think people are probably wondering, how do you tell a story through the eyes of a donkey?
Yeah, so
you have to go to the theater and find out.
Right.
That's the answer
to
the question.
If you have seen the Balthazar movie, you'll see it. It's very, as they call it, ascetic filmmaking, very sparse, not a lot of dialogue. So I'm assuming that this is probably the same.
Because we all know donkeys can't talk.
Right.
I think
that's
where we're going to
land. In this
land
movie,
here.
The donkey can't talk. But,
okay.
<yeah.
laughs> That film is titled EO. It is two letters there. It'll be playing at the Screenland Armor in mid-January. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Steve Walker, let's go to Is That Black Enough for You? This features film critic Elvis Mitchell of the New York Times offering a sweeping analysis of how the black experience has been depicted on screen over the past 100 years.
And he is the right critic to do it. He covers various scenes from, there's dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of clips, as far back as a silent film made by a female director in the 20s. And of course it goes up through such classics as Sounder, and it covers the blaxploitation genre with Cleopatra Jones and Pam Grier's stellar career on film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great reminder that there have been so many well-intentioned attempts to bring the black experience to the screen. It didn't always work. When it did, it baffled the Hollywood producers about, oh, so black people go to movies and we can make money at this.
Mm-hmm.
And then something like Sounder comes along and, you know, gathers all kinds of Oscar nominations for its dramatic heft. It's a very fascinating film. It's over 2 hours, 2 hours and 20 minutes probably. And if you love compilations of clips, this is right up your alley.
I've seen this one too. It's really dense. Just a little warning of it goes really fast because it's a huge history. And it's interesting because they talk about in the early films, these black filmmakers would push all genres together because they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to make another movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of feels like this filmmaker is afraid that he won't be able to make it. You know, he wants to put everything into it. So
okay.
So you might want to, you know, divide it up. There's sort of two sections of like a history of it, and then he gets into the 60s and 70s.
Rita tweets us this. She's very excited to see The Fablemans, a Steven Spielberg film that's sure to delight movie lovers. Lots of buzz around that film, right, Beck?
Yeah, that actually almost made it onto my list.
Mm-hmm.
I love the cast. Michelle Williams, Paul Dano going to playing Spielberg's sort of semi-autobiographical movie. They play his parents on his on-screen parents. So yeah, I think it's going to be corny like all Spielberg movies,
right.
But I think it's going to be good.
Steve, we just have a little bit of time left here, 45 seconds. Let's go to Boulevard, A Hollywood Story. Fans of the classic 1950 movie Sunset Boulevard will relish this documentary about its star Gloria Swanson's effort to turn the story into a Broadway musical.
Well, if you know the movie Sunset Boulevard and love it like I do, You will love this movie. You will just eat it up. And it's a little story that I had never heard anything about. It plopped into my email this week, and I was like, oh, please send me a screener link of this. This sounds amazing. And it covers the two young songwriters who teamed up with Swanson, although she forgot one key thing. She didn't have the rights to the movie. And of course, the Sunset Boulevard became a huge hit musical years later from Andrew Lloyd Webber. So it's really fascinating
right.
film history.
That film, again, is titled Boulevard, A Hollywood Story. We're going to have to leave our list there, and it was a good one. I want to thank Steve Walker, KCUR film contributor, and film reviewer Beck Ireland. Thank you both for a great set of movies here. Much appreciated. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.